From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Genesis chapter 24, we'll read just one verse and then move to chapter 12. Genesis 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Now go with me to chapter 12, and we'll read verses 2 and 3. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I'm going to ask Brother Eric to lead us in prayer tonight. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes on the thought of the God of all blessing. We do understand that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. God had blessed Abraham in so many different ways as we've studied the life of Abraham and the great God of Abraham. We've noticed how God's hand of blessing was upon him, God's goodness was poured out upon him. And as Christians living in the United States of America, I think that we would quickly admit that we too are extremely blessed. I'm convinced that we ought to be the most grateful people on the planet. Thanksgiving should not be a one-time-a-year occasion, but something that constantly pours out of our mouths. I want you to see several things that correlate between Abraham and ourselves, the blessings that Abraham experienced and the blessings that we experience as Christians, especially Christians living here in the United States of America. Number one, God blessed Abraham in spite of Abraham. It wasn't that God looked down and said, I need someone really worth blessing to bless here. Aren't you glad that God doesn't always quantify or qualify his blessings? He's not holding them all back saying, I'm looking for perfection. Aren't you glad that although at times undeserving, and we may have had the microscope on the life of Abraham, and we may have stepped back and said, okay, why in the world did he go to Egypt? The same chapter he's called out. He's disobeying God. He took Lot with him. He took his father with him, and he wasn't completely obedient. And twice he lies about his wife. And then he takes Hagar and has a child. And, you know, there are a dozen things that we could look at in the life of Abraham and say, he really didn't deserve that blessing. But neither do we. And we are blessed. Why in the world are we so blessed? How is it that we were born here? How is it that God chose us? How is it that we experience the gospel? How is it that we have a church and a Bible and a Holy Spirit? Not that we did anything to deserve this. Isn't it amazing that at certain times in life we actually think that there's something that we deserve from God's good hand of mercy? We don't deserve any of it. We do have grace, that unmerited favor, and I'm blessed in spite of myself. There have been so many times in life when God's poured out his blessing and I've been overwhelmed by it and thought, boy, God, I know a lot of people that certainly deserve this more than I do. I'm not complaining about it. I don't want you to take it back. I certainly like if you continue to bless me in the future. I'm just acknowledging I'm not worthy of all your goodness. And Abraham, what a blessed man. Not a perfect man. Not a spotless man. Not a problem-free person. Common and ordinary. We see his faith growing, but in the midst of that growth, we see a lot faults and failures, and God in his grace continued to bless him decade after decade after decade. And we too, simply by the fact that we are born again children of God, we're going to get his blessings. You ought to thank God every single day for that. Number two, he was blessed while living among those that were cursed. Now think about this. God's taken him to the promised land, Canaan. But it's inhabited. There are people there that are under a curse. And at some point, God was going to deal with them. He's going to deal with their sin. Look what it says in Genesis 15, verse 16. It would take a while. There was a reason for God's delay. It says in Genesis 15, 16, God explains his delay. He had not yet punished them or run them out. And here's why, verse 16, but in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. As we look at the life of Abraham and as he wanders around the promised land, God's blessing was upon him, although he was living among accursed people. And let me just say this. I believe God has blessed the United States of America, but they have turned their back on God. They have turned their back on this book. They have turned their back on these principles. Abortion alone, if it weren't for any other sin than the sin of abortion, in the blood of innocence in our land, our soil cries out with the blood of innocence. Millions and millions of innocent who've lost their lives at the cruel hand of doctors that are murderers that call themselves doctors. That alone has brought the curse of God upon this nation. And then our Supreme Court didn't help our case at all in the eyes of God. Their recent ruling on homosexual marriage. But you could talk about a lot of issues and problems and sin in this nation. But you'll still have to sit back and say, I thank God that I still get to experience his blessings among people that are going to experience his curse. Number three, Abraham was blessed. He was blessed with eternal life. Boy, if you can't get happy about the blessing of eternal life, you don't have to spend one day in hell. You don't have to spend one moment in hell. You don't have to spend a moment in purgatory. Not a single... You're not going to be reincarnated. You don't have to worry about coming back as a hog, a dog, a frog, a cat, a mouse, a rat. You could leave this earth straight to glory, brand new body. You're blessed. You're blessed because it's not based upon your works. Here's what Genesis 15, 6 says. He believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. I guarantee you, Abraham, thousands of years later, 4,000 years later, is still skipping across the streets of gold saying, praise the Lord that none of this depended upon any of my works. And we've used him as an example, and we've set him up on the pedestal, and we've called him the father of Israel and the father of the Jews. But if salvation, if eternal life, if heaven were dependent upon his behavior upon the earth, he would have been doomed and damned to the lake of fire. Aren't you thankful that you can wake up tomorrow knowing you've been saved now for 15 years? You should have lost your salvation. You should have. You should have to wrestle with it. You should have to wake up every day saying, can I earn it again today? But no, God in his grace and mercy says, I'm going to give it to you, and it's for keeps. That ought to make you excited. That ought to make you happy to say, I'm blessed. Just the fact that I have that. And we have so much more than Abraham because he had the promise of eternal life, but we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have that. Aren't you glad? Because how many times have you gotten near to evil and the Holy Spirit said, don't do that? How many tragedies have we avoided? How many sins have we kept from committing? Because the Holy Spirit and his presence was there. Abraham might have been able to avoid Egypt, might have been able to avoid the tragic mistake with Hagar, had he the indwelling of the Holy Spirit during his day. We have the Holy Spirit, and how much sin do we commit with his indwelling present? And you say, we're blessed. And Abraham didn't have a church. We have a church. Abraham couldn't wake up Sunday morning. He couldn't go to service on Sunday night and have his faith reinforced, be propped up and prodded and helped and encouraged when he was discouraged. He didn't have a continual word from God. We've got good people. I thank God for the people in this church. Abraham didn't have that. Abraham didn't have a soul winning program. Abraham didn't have a Sunday school class. Abraham didn't have a Christian school to send his son. Abraham didn't have a Becca to provide Isaac with a good education. Can you imagine, Sarah, what are we going to do this year for school? I don't know, Sarah, just get it done. And what's a lady feel like doing at 106? She's like, Isaac, just do something. Why, you never thought about the realities of Scripture? Come on, what? How many 106-year-olds have you seen give a great homeschool education to their children? None that I know of. And number four, he was blessed because he had the word of the Lord. Now hold on for a second, not like we do. Look what it says in chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came into Abraham. Now think about this. In these times, in this day and age, they didn't have a book. They didn't have the written word of God. And here's Abram leaving her, and God appears to him. God speaks to him. But we see times in his life when he goes 10, 13 years without a word from God. And we in this generation, we wake up and we got the book. Have you ever considered how few generations in the past 6,000 years have had a complete copy of this book? And to think we don't cherish it. I don't know how people live without this book. I don't know how people keep saying without this book. How many of you have ever listened to talk radio and you've heard that person talking about everything that's going on in society and all the ills, and you think he's really depressed, he's really concerned, he's really frustrated, he's about ready to jump off a cliff? Of course, because he has no knowledge of prophecy, he has no knowledge, he hasn't read the last chapter, he doesn't understand the rapture is about ready to happen. There will be a second coming. If I didn't know that, I'd be desperately out of my mind as well. But we've got a book. And we can wake up in the morning, open up this book. Nothing that calms the soul like reading this book. How many generations didn't have a chapter in their hands? Didn't have a single book in their hands? How many down through the ages, they had to go someplace, it was written in Latin, they didn't even know Latin, they couldn't even read Latin. How many paid the price with their life? Remember several years ago in China, as we're getting ready to cross the border into North Korea, Daryl Covington saying, gentlemen, you need to understand, because I can't make this clear enough. Whatever vocabulary has been established in your hearts and minds since your childhood has got to be eliminated for the next 4 days. You don't say Bible. You don't say pastor. You don't say church. You don't say Jesus. You don't say God. You don't say Christian. That terminology is gone. You put us at risk if one of those words slip out of your mouth. People that have no Bible live in constant fear. Somehow they get their hands a little MP3 player and it pulls up a recording of God's word. They know at that moment, most likely, if anybody in their house ever mentions that, they go off to a concentration camp and they'll never leave in their lifetime. And yet we have New Testaments in our glove boxes. We have Bibles in the house that we haven't used in 10 years. I don't believe it happens here, but I'll tell you what. There are a lot of Christians around this country. They go home on Sunday. They didn't even have to open up their Bible on Sunday because the preacher didn't open it up. I visited churches in the past year where 90% of the congregation had a cell phone. You say, preacher, what's wrong with a cell phone? Is there sin in a cell phone? We just don't trust you enough to believe that you're actually looking at the Scripture. And it's strange, the timing, because when I'm reading the text, you're not looking at the phone. But when I've stopped reading the text, you're looking at your phone. Makes me a little suspicious. But there's nothing like just this book. The power, you know, I've never seen anyone offended by the presence of a phone out in a lost world. But if you take this book, just take this. Don't read it. Don't quote it. Don't yell it. Just hold it. You know what, in this day and age, you don't even have to say Holy Bible. Just hold a leather-bound book with worn pages, and people get really nervous. Guarantee you, your boss will stop you at the door of your company and say, "Nah, you better leave that in the car." The power of this book. Abram was blessed because out of the thousands that lived on the planet, he was one that had a word from God. And out of the 7 billion on this planet, you're one of those. Just as the word of God came to Abraham's house, the word of God has come to your house. Young people, you don't understand how fortunate you are. You could have been born in a Muslim nation. You could have been born in North Korea. You could have been born in China. You could have been born in a country, in a house, or even here in the United States of America, in the home of a drunk, the home of a drug addict, a house where no one there had a copy of the Word of God, knew anything about the Word of God. They did. They blasphemed it. You're blessed. You've been raised around this book. You've been infiltrated with this book. You've memorized this book. You've sung songs out of this book. You've heard it preached hundreds of times. You've touched it. You've tasted it. You're blessed. Abraham was a blessed man, but so are we. I want to see number 5. He was blessed with a good family. Now, when you consider Abraham telling a woman, "We're going to sell our stuff, we're going to sell our house, and we're going to make a move, and we're not going to come back. And that's all I know. It's all the information I have. More to come. Updates to be given later. But at the present, basically all we're doing is whatever you like in life, we're going to get rid of it." Group hug. You know what kind of woman it took to sell those possessions and take off with her husband and wander around out there living in tents? Ladies, there's no one here. I just went hunting. After a couple days, I was done with a pop-up camper. I spent 5 days in the mountains of Colorado with Jeremy, Nate, Ben, and Dilworth. Nothing to do with them. After five days, I was just done with the tent. It wasn't a great experience. Nice to get home, my own house. You know what stuff blows through a tent? You know what stuff crawls through a tent? You know what kind of smells whiff through a tent? Especially when your job deals with cattle, sheep. And let me ask you this. How is it that we live this blessed and don't even realize it? How is it that we have this much, and I'm not talking about just the spiritual blessing, but men, just the fact that you have a wife, you ought to understand you're blessed. Have you seen yourself in the mirror? You can barely put up with your own grumpy spirit, let alone believe that someone else has done that for 20 years. She hasn't hit you with a frying pan. She hadn't even cursed you out. She's moved from place to place, dealt with poverty. And here's Sarah. She's going to, well, she did laugh. You would laugh too if you'd been barren your whole life and you just celebrated your 88th birthday and someone tells you you're going to have a baby. Don't tell me. You'd be like, "Yep, I'm going to go buy a crib. Me and Abe, we're going straight down to Babies R Us. Make a few phone calls and plan a baby shower." Not what you'd be doing. So the very fact that she just went, "It's pretty funny," that qualifies her as a good wife. There's so many things in the life of Abraham that we see Sarah and she's doing well, yet she actually has less flaws than Abraham. Okay, women. So God appears to your husband and he tells your husband, "I want him to take your son up to a mountain and put him on an altar, take his life." And you say, "Great. Sounds good." You know what you do? Yeah. You would never even let the two walk out the door, let alone disappear for 3 days. Sarah was an amazing person, and we forget that. Abraham, you're blessed because you have a great wife. Now, you know what you can do right now in the middle of the message? You can look over your wife and say, I thank God for a great woman. God blessed you with a good woman. And God blessed him with a good son. Isaac was a pretty good son. You know what? If you have children that love God, you ought to thank God every day of your life. It's his grace. Now, I thank God for the principles of the Word of God, and I thank God for the Christian school, and I thank God for the youth ministry, and I thank God for everything that we have in this church that supports and helps and favors your child living for God. That's not guaranteed, because you can't eliminate the free will. God's got to do a work in their heart. You can put everything in place. You can put everything in order. You better pray and beg God's grace and mercy to get involved in the situation. But if you have children that love God, they're doing right, you ought to skip and shout and jump and say, praise the Lord for today. I hope it lasts till the rapture. But I know at least today they're in God's house. Amen. Singing God's hymns. Amen. With God's people. If you have a child, listen, if you've seen that son or that daughter without any command from the mother, with an open Bible and a face in that book, you ought to thank God. If you've ever opened the door to their room and saw that child on their knees in prayer, you're blessed. If you've been able to lead one of your children to the Lord, or you've had them come home from church, tell you about their salvation, you are blessed. Number six, he was blessed because of his nationality. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 12. Verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation. I believe there have been two Christian nations in the history of this planet. Israel, the United States of America. And I know they've tried to distort history, historical facts. If you read anything about our founding fathers, make sure the book is at least 100 years old. I know there are bad things happening, but if you can't even say a praise the Lord and a hallelujah and a thank God for the nation that you're living in, you need to get a plane ticket. And I'll give you a list of 150 countries. I'll give you a list of 200 countries you can go visit. If you talk to anybody that travels extensively, we've stayed in houses where you could see through the slats in the floor, you know, while bugs crawled up. We've been to countries before. As soon as we got there, we pulled up to the house. There's a python recently killed. How big was that python, Robert? 10 feet? 12 feet? Right, I'm talking about right outside the house where we're getting ready to unload and stay. Violence. Crying. We were just in a church where the pastor said 50 or 60% of my congregation has AIDS. Every one of my leaders have AIDS. You're blessed. You didn't walk to church tonight. You're not sitting on a 2x4. You're not worrying about what you're going to eat. You didn't make $6 today and $6 tomorrow and know your income earning potential is about $10 a day. I've been in countries where for 5 days we ate the same meal morning, noon, and night. Kimchi and squid. Sometimes cold, sometimes hot, sometimes slimy, sometimes dry. But the same meal. Kimchi, which I was never big on anyways. Oh, I take that back. It wasn't just kimchi and squid. One day they actually took dog meat and filled the squid. So we did have a delicacy one day. How many of you say, I'm blessed that I've never had to eat kimchi and dog stuffed squid? Amen. We've been places, the average third world country, sewage running in the street. We're in the Philippines during a time of the flood. And listen, when you have raw sewage running in the streets and the water level is about a foot above ground, you know what everything becomes that's running through the streets? Raw sewage. We can talk about freedom of religion, freedom of the press. No fear coming to this church. Put up a sign that says, Cap City Baptist Church, we're blessed. Why hasn't that reached our minds and our souls? And our, why wouldn't that come out of our mouth where we just walk around saying, we're blessed? He said, preacher, you happy with our president? I'm so happy because when you see the path that we were on, a country that was embracing socialism, we're still headed towards a cliff. We've just slowed down the motion temporarily. I'm thankful for someone that just stands up. I'm so sick of listening to politicians just lie after lie after lie after lie. It's nice to watch a politician just stand up and insert their foot in their mouth with the truth. That's what normal people do. Anybody here ever done that? I'm glad I'm not the only one that inserts foot in mouth. Thank God for the United States. You got to thank God for our economy. Just about the time you start complaining, saying, oh, I can't believe GDP. I can't believe what's taking place. I can't believe interest rate. I can't believe. Go anywhere else in the world. Take a look at their economy. You come back and say, thank God. Whatever problems we're having. Price of gas, the price of milk, go anywhere and take a look at the price of rent. I don't care where you go. Well, you know, I know there are people in the mountain villages of Mexico and they can rent a house for $30 a day. You wouldn't live there if I paid you $3,000 a month. And we're talking about, I don't care what border you cross, what nation you go to, you need to thank God for the United States of America. You need to thank God for indoor plumbing. You thank God for nice mattresses. You need to thank God for electricity that doesn't get turned off 8 hours a day. You need to thank God that you have consistent water and water pressure. We lived in Pachuca, one of the wealthier cities in all of Mexico. We had a beautiful house. Listen, we had a 5-bedroom house, 3.5 had their own bath. You say, what's wrong, preacher? We just didn't have water. If we were lucky, we'd have water once a week, and it would be on for 30 minutes. So we would crank it on and fill up our water tank as full as we could get it. That was on a good week. Nice house, good neighborhood, no water. Every time you turn on your water faucet, and you can drink from the water faucet. Some of you don't like to do that. You get nervous. Now, you don't even have to pay. I lied to you. I said you had to pay 89 cents for a purge in Mexico. You don't have to pay 89 cents. You can just go right to the tap. Crystal clear purge. It's called the people's purge. Right there. You need to thank God for your nationality. Because here's what society's told you. Don't be happy that you're an American. Don't be proud that you're an American. You can still carry a gun. You can still go hunting. You can still attend church. You can still, I wouldn't recommend it, but you can put a blog up on the internet and establish your own platform and talk about all the things you don't like in this country and never go to jail for it. You thank God for your nationality. We have plenty of problems, but if you ever get tempted to complain, come to me and I'll give you a list. I'll even buy your ticket. It'll be one way. I'm not buying you a return ticket. Number 7, Abraham was blessed with good health. How many of you remember how old Abraham was when he died? 175. That's pretty good health. Well, you know, preacher, back around the time of the... No, hold on for a second. These people are not living to be 175 at this point. 175. Pretty good health. You know what we do? We get an ache, we get a pain, we start griping about our health. When the majority of us sitting here, there are a few exceptions, a few that have dealt with cancer, where the rut's in constant pain. I know a few people that have had as many health problems as Brother Sullivan, always smiling, never complains, constantly deals with it. But the majority of us, you know what we do? We wake up in the morning, and if we have a stiff neck, calling my boss. Can't believe it. Good night. Gonna have to go pay $30 at the chiropractor. You need to go to the hospital. You know there are 3-year-olds on chemo? You just walk around the Burton ward at the hospital. I'm gonna thank God for your help. Thank God you got hands that work and 2 legs. You're not missing any limbs. An ugly spirit, ugly face doesn't count for poor health. Hurts us more than it hurts you. You ought to thank God. You ought to thank God that after all that soda, you still don't have sugar diabetes. Thank God your kidneys still function. Boy, you've slammed those babies with about 50 tons of toxin. Some of you need to just really stretch yourself and say amen twice a service. He was blessed, number 8, by tests. Now, there were a lot of occasions in Scripture, we've seen right here, where God tested Abraham. Chapter 21, Mount Moriah, that was his biggest test. But that was a blessing. He didn't realize it at the moment. Hindsight helps us out. How many of you have looked back at the testings of life and you thank God for it? You say, you know what? That helped me. That strengthened me. That's helped me help someone else. At the time, I didn't like it. At the time, it was uncomfortable. At the time, it's a frustration. How many people has Abraham helped by facing these tests of faith that God gave him, by passing the test, and he's strengthened thousands, millions of Christians over the generations by his example? When you pass a test, when you go through that and you deal properly with it and you overcome it by faith, you know what? There are people watching you and you're strengthening them, you're helping them, you're encouraging them. God has a reason. God has a purpose for it. And that's not the message tonight. But we need to understand, not just because of physical blessing, but also those spiritual tests, that is God doing us a favor, preparing us for something more important down the road. And that spiritual test is actually a spiritual blessing. Now go back with me to chapter 12 and we'll be finished. Genesis 12, verse 2. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. And he did. I'll make thy name great. And he did. Thou shalt be a blessing. And he has been, and the Jews have been a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. Now look what the last phrase says. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Christians, I am convinced of this tonight. This is the truth we need to grasp. God has blessed us to bless others. No nation on this earth outside the Jewish nation, the Israelites, have been so blessed as we have been. And not just in the past. I'm talking about this congregation. 2017, no society in the history of mankind has dealt with this kind of excess and this kind of luxury and this kind of wealth. Printed page and radio, churches, Bibles, we're blessed. But we're good at hoarding. We're good at holding on to. We're good at collecting and putting it in a can and sealing the can and sitting on the can. Blessed to keep. Blessed to have, blessed to get more, blessed to accumulate. That's not why God's blessed us. I'm convinced the only thing that's held back the judgment of God on this nation is the fact that we've done so much for missions and there are still people doing so much for missions. And I know people talk about the replacements are taking place in the Philippines and Mexico. And I'm going to tell you straight up, you know how difficult it is for those missionaries to raise support in those countries without the American dollar? You know how difficult it is to build a building around the world without an American dollar? You know how difficult it is for things to happen around the world without the American dollar? And until we realize that we are blessed to bless. Amen. I'm so thankful for the 6 or 7 ladies here that are helping us put together meals for some of our bus families this Wednesday night. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be participating in that because we have been blessed. We have excess. There's no one that's going into debt to help a family. You ought to do yourself a favor one day. Spend one day, one Saturday, making visits on a bus route. Remind yourself how blessed you are. You'll go talk to kids that don't. Listen, mom's never made a turkey. Doesn't even know how to make a turkey. And now someone's going to bring over a turkey. Is it too much to just use a little bit of our blessings? I'm thankful for those that are involved, but I really don't think I'm going to miss a payment this month. I'm going to have to let go of my phone. I'm going to have to give up a trip to the mall. We're not going to be able to go Christmas shopping because we're helping a family celebrate Thanksgiving. I don't think we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. But we can't ever lose sight of the fact that God has blessed us so that we can bless someone else. This that God has given me, that house should be used to bless someone else, and that car should be used to bless someone else. My finances ought to be used to help bless someone else. But you've bought into the lie of today's society that says, just hoard it. You're going to get old. You're growing old. You're going to die broke. Hoard it. And you bought the lie. And ever since you bought the lie, you've lived nervous. Can't do that. I'm going to die penniless. Can't do that. I'm hurting my 401k. Can't do that. That means we're going to have less than we already have. You already have more than 98% of the world. God said, Abraham, I'm blessing you so you can bless others.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.